It is nice taking the mask off, I have to tell you. And I am working really hard to keep us at 30 minutes. I know I've been extending it, but I don't know how to go this any faster than what we're doing. The church calendar is a little bit weird. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, here we are today, December 20th, and we're being told that Mary's being told that she's going to have a baby. She's not even pregnant yet, but she's being told in the scripture reading today that she's going to have a baby. But in the church timing, in 5 days, she has the baby. I mean, that's like a world's record for a short pregnancy right there. I mean, it seems it's, you don't even have time to put a nursery together in that limited amount of time. And I was remembering poor Marlena, her first night, she was in a laundry basket. We didn't even have a bassinet. We just had towels lined up for her. But understand, this was not Mary's impossible dream. She's not like Elizabeth or Sarah or Hannah. Nowhere are we told that Mary wanted to have a baby, that she was hoping to have a baby, that she was barren. She's a virgin. How can she even know if she's barren or not? All we know is that she's young and she's engaged. And Mary's question to Gabriel, how can this be? But my question isn't about Mary's pregnancy as much as it is about Gabriel's vision, what he describes in verses 32 and 33, concluding with, "And of his kingdom there will be no end." In some ways, it seems to me like giving a virgin birth, is a whole lot easier than Gabriel's vision of how God's kingdom has no end. I find myself asking, how can this be? Have you seen our country? Have you seen our world? Have you seen our planet? Have you seen how people are behaving or misbehaving? How can this, of his kingdom there will be no end, be when it doesn't even look like it's begun yet? It's a mess. It reminds me of a pastor whose wife normally took care of this stuff, but it fell to him for this year for whatever reason, and he was going to tell the nativity story to the four-year-old while putting the nativity scene together. And it was one of these paper construct, tab A, fold B, all these type of things. And so the idea is to narrate the story as you're also building the scene. You can see, for those who are artistic and crafts-minded, what a beautiful, lovely vision. But for people like myself, tab A, slot B, separate C from camel D, wise man E from shepherd F, fold the manger this way, Mary's over, you know, and it was just a disaster. It was absolutely, it was not coming together well at all. It was a mess. And finally, the four-year-old looked at that and said, "So where is God in all of this? Where is God in this mess?" If you know your Bible, then you know that Israel was a mess. When Gabriel visited Mary, Israel was being occupied by Rome. But before that, they had been beaten by anybody and everybody, from Egyptians to Assyrians to Babylonians to Persians. I mean, half the time they're beaten by themselves and their own corrupt leaders. They've lost the temple. They've lost the city of Jerusalem. They've lost the promised land. And they've lost the sense of who God has called them to be. The Romans were just the last of a long line of occupiers. Pretty much everybody but God had been occupying them, not only their throne and their homes, but also their hearts. They were not pious, righteous people. They were a mess. And we're still a mess. The planet is polluted with everything from hatred and violence to prejudice and plastics. People continue to act irresponsibly and selfishly, seeking power and control, doing what is comfortable and convenient rather than what is faithful and right, making excuses rather than making self-sacrifices. And into this mess comes God. God calls Mary, and in Mary's case, it was through Gabriel. But sometimes it's not always through an angel. Years ago, Will Willimon was the college chaplain at Duke University, and he was called by one of the local presidents of the campus's fraternities. And the young man asked Will if he would be willing to come to the fraternity and give a talk for an hour. And Will said, okay, sure, what would you like me to speak on? And the president said, it doesn't matter, whatever you'd like to speak on, it just has to last for an hour. Well, Will thought that was a little bit curious. First of all, it's curious that a fraternity president would be calling the chaplain for any kind of a talk. But so he pressed the point. He says, well, what's the occasion? And the student said, well, our fraternity kind of got sideways with the university, and we have to do 12 hours of remedial education, and somebody told us you'd be good for an hour. So his ego sufficiently deflated, he goes up and he shows up at the fraternity at the appointed time on Thursday evening. He knocks on the door and he's greeted by a young kid, like 8 or 9 year old kid. And he thought, that's a little bit strange. And the young kid says, are you the preacher? And Will says, yeah. He says, well, they're in the back. Come on, I'll show you the way. And he takes him down a labyrinth of halls and shows him the room, and there's all the fraternity gathered there. And the little kid climbed up into one of the other, you know, college student's lap and fell asleep. And Will gave his lecture. And he talked about civic duty and responsibility, about Christian ethics, and, you know, all the things you would imagine you need to talk to a fraternity that's been gotten sideways with the university, and gave them, you know, everything they needed to hear. The students listened politely. At the end, he asked if there were any questions. Of course, there were not any questions. The hour was up. They were very happy to be able to leave, and off they went. And the student, where the young boy had been sleeping on his lap, gently woke the child, asked him to go brush his teeth, get on his PJs, get in his room, and that he would be up in a few minutes and read him a story. And Will walked out with the student, and it turned out to be the president of that fraternity. And the student thanked Will for coming and for speaking his fine words, and he took out a cigarette. He offered one to Will. Will declined, and the student lit it up. But Will was curious about the kid. What's going on with the boy? So he asked him, what's going on with the kid? And the student drew from the cigarette, and he says, well, we signed up to be big brothers, and Billy there, well, he has a mom, but she ain't too good. She's hooked on crack and lots of different men in the house, and so me and the guys have arranged it so that anytime Billy needs a safe place, he can come here. And sometimes it's only for one night, but usually it's 4 or 5 times. And we feed him, and we do his laundry, and we get him new clothes and shoes, and try to look after him and help him with his homework, stuff like that. And the student took another drag on his cigarette. He said, you know, preacher, I think God must be crazy to let a guy like me do something this good. I get it. The world's a mess. Has been a mess for a long time. But God's kingdom is present, right in the middle of the mess. Israel was a mess when Gabriel came to Mary, and it's a mess now. But God is here too, in the mess, right in the middle of the mess. Emmanuel, God with us. And God is revealed in that mess. When Mary says yes, and when you say yes, God and God's kingdom is made visible and clearer every single time you say yes to cross and yes to the migrant gift table and to the opportunities to serve, not what you volunteer for, but what you get called to. There's a difference, you know. Just ask Mary. She didn't volunteer. She was called. How can this be? It's not just about a virgin getting pregnant. It's about how God's kingdom came to be born and revealed. Christmas is not just a history lesson. It's remembering that God is still at work in the mess, bringing new life to a dying world, because the Holy Spirit has still come upon us in ways that are often mysterious and unplanned, planting seeds of hope and new life, of deliverance and the holy presence of God. How can this be? Where is God in this mess? Right here, Emmanuel, God with us. And we are the witnesses. We bring truth to light that no word from God will ever fail, that with God, nothing is impossible. Amen.